Hello and welcome to episode 72 of the Wastiness Podcast. I'm Kevin Gallagher. I'm joined again by Kieran Mooney. Kieran, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, Kev. I'm freezing, and that seems to be how everybody is feeling at the moment. But no, I'm doing all good. It's nice to jump on the pod and not have a defeat to talk about. The unbeaten run rolls on, and yeah, I'm looking forward to diving into what is a massive week for the football club. What about yourself? You well?
Pretty much the same. It's absolutely Baltic. We'll say now we're recording this on the Monday night. It probably won't go out until possibly the Wednesday this week. But yeah, I think the worst of the weather's still to come, which is a bit concerning. Hopefully it doesn't kind of cause havoc with the games coming up this weekend. But yes, it is absolutely Baltic. It was a cold one on Saturday, but as you say, not a bad result in the end, getting the draw down at Palmerston. We'll have a chat about last Saturday's game on this week's episode, and then it's going to be looking ahead to the Scottish Cup fourth round as we go up against the big boys of Lanarkshire, up against Motherwell. We'll kick off with looking back on last Saturday, the Derek Queens. One change to the team: Stephen Buchanan obviously went off injured the week before. Kind of what we were expecting to happen, Taylor Stephen coming in and keeping Kevin Colley central.
Yeah, I think we were pretty much bang on. We maybe wanted Ali Roy to come in because he maybe deserved the start a little bit more, but for the shape and how Bobby Wales has been deployed in this team, it was always going to be a like for like. Taylor Stephen coming in on one side, Coulson on the other, and Colley maintaining his place as well. So, yeah, he was good for the goal, Taylor Stephen. I will give him that, and we'll jump straight into that moment there. And he came into the team, and after a fantastic ball over the top, Taylor Stephen does excellently well to lay it on a plate for Bobby Wales. And I suppose, you know, he's done a turn since coming into the team for that goal anyway.
Yeah, I'm calling him Bobby Goals now. Bobby Goals now, exactly as we thought would happen. He cannot stop scoring for Alloa. Yeah, Taylor Stephen does well at the goal. I thought, you know, kind of in the lead up to that goal, I thought that first half at Alloa, to me, we had a bit of a swagger about us. I thought we looked really, really confident. We basically went on the front foot from the very start of the game, and I'll be honest, there was a lot of time in that first half I thought Queen struggled to get out their own. I thought we looked like the home team. You know, I thought that we played like the home team, I would have said, on Saturday. Confident, as I say, a bit of a swagger about us and really on the front foot and pinning Queen's back. Thoroughly deserved to go ahead when we did. And as you say, it's a really good long ball. I think it comes from a corner or a free kick that PG Morrison claims. And I think he gives it out quite quickly to Cammy on the right-hand side. Knocks it inside to Target. And I remember, actually, at the game, the area that we were in the away support, everyone was screaming out to launch it. The ball was on to Taylor Stephen. You could see from a mile away it was on. Launches a massive long ball into Taylor Stephen's path. I thought Taylor Stephen did really, really well. And as you say, picks out Bobby Wales, who scored from maybe about half a yard out. It looked like he kind of put it home with his thigh. But yeah, it was a good... I thought that was good from Taylor Stephen. I'll be honest, out with that, I thought he was a little bit disappointing on Saturday. And I would say, of the attacking lineup, the three that sat behind Bobby Wales, I would say all three of them were a wee bit poor on Saturday. Taylor Stephen, Quinn Coulson and Kevin Colley, who, you know, have been talking up the last couple of weeks. I thought the three of them were kind of below par on Saturday, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I would say the game went a little bit flat after the goal,
yeah.
For an Alloa perspective, until maybe the last 10 or so minutes. And I wouldn't say Queens, they didn't dominate either. They were a pretty average as well. It was just, it did fall a little bit flat. But yeah, for the goal itself, Taylor Stephen does really well, and that's what he's capable of. And I think that's the challenge to him, is to get those numbers up ever so slightly. It's, you know, it looks like he's going to be here for the rest of the season, so it's the challenge to get more goals and assists to his name. And there was a moment in that goal that you're asking him, put it in, and he seems to just keep going, and eventually he sticks it straight on a plate for Bobby Wales. And like you say, as soon as Bobby's got the first one, everything seems to be falling to him, and that's probably the easiest goal that he'll score in his senior career. But again, it's nothing more than he deserves. He had... out the front four, he was again the one that caught the eye the most. not his best performance in an Alois shirt, but again, just some of the touches and some of the intelligence that you see from him is a real joy to watch. And it's nice to see him get rewarded with goals, whether they be easy tap-ins like the one on Saturday or whether they're a little bit more harder to put in the back of the net. But it raised an interesting point that we just spoke about off air, and I think it's good to bring it on air as well, that is Bobby Wales, and it sounds like you're jumping on the bandwagon here, is he the best striker in League One? We talk about his overall link up, his technical ability. Yeah. Now he's putting the ball in the back of the net as well. I think it's a genuine question and debate to be had.
Yeah, I've kind of thought for a couple of weeks, and it's just been probably since the weekend, I've kind of thought about it a bit more. Is this a bit of a wild take? And then I think Bobby Wales starts for every other team in this division. You know, I think he is possibly the best forward in the division right now. Up against probably Ross is probably your shout for the closest to that at Falkirk. I think he seems to have went a little bit, I don't know if he's injured just now or not, but I feel he's went a wee bit off the boil, and the goals appear to kind of dried up a little bit compared to how he was at the start of the season. And admittedly, I've not seen an awful lot really of Ross this season, and I probably think back more to the last season and a bit of him. And I think comparing that to Bobby Wales, Bobby's a better player. I think he is the best forward in League One right now. As I say, I think he would get into every other team in the division. I mean, it's the kind of discussion we had kind of previously about a couple of other players, and I think it was Curtis Roberts we were talking about, saying you're probably Falkirk, you would. I think Bobby gets in every team in this division.
Yeah, I think the only other honourable mention, and he just happens to be an ex-Wasp as well, is Kevin O'Hara, who is a little bit further on in his development. But in terms of the ceiling and where all these strikers are going to go, McKeever, O'Hara and Wales, Wales for me, I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing at a real top level, and I mean above Kilmarnock, in the next 4 years when we had Ross Stewart on loan. Although Ross came in and scored more goals and hit the ground running, to me, I see a little bit more in Bobby Wales than I did in Ross Stewart. And look how well he's done. I mean, I know Southampton's not quite gone to plan yet, but Southampton are pushing on for Premier League, and Ross will be part of that squad, all going well. So I'm really excited to see where Bobby Wales ends up. I really hope the second half of the season is with us, but there's going to be a lot of attention around him, and this little goal scoring run has done Alloa the world of good, done him the world of good, but also just drawn a lot of eyes, because prior to that, a lot of his hard work and technical ability was going under the radar because the numbers weren't there. But now it's the whole package, and it's benefiting Alloa, but it's also bringing a lot more attention on the boy.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He's, I think Andy even kind of alluded to in his comments after the game, and it's kind of what we've been saying as well, that you look back at the period when he came in and he wasn't scoring goals, and to be honest, most of the support are still pretty much raving about him. I think everyone could see it. Everyone could see it. And despite being a forward and not scoring, we were all talking about how Bobby Wales was performing. He was playing that well without the goals. And I suppose there's a little bit, you can have a little bit of comparison to how Ross McKeever was with ourselves, because it was kind of a similar story, but there's a lot more about Bobby Wales, and like you're saying, about the kind of, where his ceiling is possibly at, and I compare it to the guys we've had, compare it to the likes of Ross, as you say, and then go back a little bit further with the likes of Kevin O'Hara, the likes of Ewan Henderson, players like that we had on loan, and I would say Bobby Wales is streets ahead. He's in terms of a prospect of where he could go, streets ahead of where those guys were. He's been so important to us. I'm exactly the same. I kind of feel it's the kind of make or break of our season, if I'm being honest, is whether we have him the second half of the season. If we have him for the second half of the season, I feel playoffs are achievable. I don't believe the playoffs are going to be as strong this year as they were last year. I would say any team that gets into the playoffs at all, I think will fancy their chances. And I honestly think that's kind of how I view Bobby Wales, is having him gives me a confidence of us making the playoffs. It honestly gives me a confidence of us possibly getting through the playoffs this year. Not having Bobby for the rest of the season, I'd be so disappointed. I'd be so disappointed. So yeah, I think it's a kind of pivotal couple of weeks to see what happens now.
Yeah, we'll have a more of a general playoff discussion in a minute, because there was some good results in Alloa's favour. It was a shame they just couldn't get that winner, which would have been really good. But I'm looking at the table and there's games in hand, and it holds us in a good position. But before we get to the more general picture, it's probably worth talking about the slightly negatives on Saturday. Obviously, we conceded a goal. It was a mistake from Taggarty to giving the ball away. I watched it again just a couple of minutes ago when you were talking, and it's a tricky one. I mean, he's laid it right to the boy's feet, but there's still a lot to do before the goal, and he's been pressed really quickly. It's probably more, if I'm a Queens fan, I'm looking at it and saying that's the energy I want from my team, as opposed to Alloa, you know, a bit slack on the ball. So, you know, willing to let him off. I thought defensively we were actually pretty solid, and PJ Morrison as well has come up with a big save that he's only really been called into action once, and it was a wonderful save, to be fair to him, and that's what he's got in his locker. But I thought, worth giving a mention to likes of Dave McKay, who's come in and he's looked absolutely fine alongside Morgan Neil. I know you've had your comments about him, as have other supporters as well, but I thought he's done solid enough. The goal's unfortunate. Our reaction to it wasn't the best either, but I'd say all of Queens, for, you know, they weren't that inspirational, and maybe it's our Alloa bias, but I thought the only threat that from Queen of the South was from Lee Connolly. He obviously got the goal deflection, which was unfortunate, but in the second half, he's had a couple of opportunities with the header. He's gone to dink PJ Morrison as well, just fallen to the wrong side of the post. But apart from him, there wasn't much of a threat. We just couldn't seem to get a grip of him for periods of the game, is all I would say.
Yeah, I thought Queens were really poor. Yeah, I mean, they were poorer than I expected. I felt that first half in particular is as comfortable an afternoon as Alloa have had at Palmerston for a long, long time. I know we have a good record down there, but that first half, I thought Queens were absolutely... Queens were poor, but I thought we were good as well. We played the game in the right way. I thought Lee Connolly, until the goal, I thought he was quite poor as well. I thought from the moment he got his goal, I thought he was the best player in the park. Probably from his goal onwards, he was probably the best player in the park. He was the only real live spark in that Queens side at all, if I'm being honest. And I kind of think back to the way kind of Daniel talked when he came on last week, and I get it now. You know, I get it. If that's kind of where the standard's been at, I'd be massively concerned if I'm a Queens fan. But I thought Lee, as I say, not great really until his goal, but from his goal onwards for me was he was the best player in the park. You're talking there, we kind of mentioned off air as well, imagining Lee in our team, and you could see him, you know, kind of, you've said it before we started recording, and that kind of Kevin Colley role, if we had Lee Connolly buzzing about in there, I think that would work really well. Yeah, I was impressed with Lee on Saturday. In terms of the way we defended, give a shout out to PJ Morrison. Look, I'm not necessarily convinced with PJ this season. I've been a little bit disappointed. That save around about the half hour mark from McGuffey, I think it was, that's a world class save he's produced there. How he's managed to get enough onto that to tip, I think he tipped it onto the bar.
It was
an outrageous, absolutely outrageous save. So, you know, it is a player I've been critical of, but he did really well there. I still look in the second half, there's a couple of times it crosses that he needs to be more commanding, is probably what I would say coming for crosses. In terms of the defence, Dave McKay, I thought Dave McKay had a pretty good game. No, I thought he had a pretty good game on Saturday. Probably that might be one of his best games for Alloa. He was caught out once in the second half where the chance you talked about when Lee was through and he took it first time, on the kind of the sort of half volley where Dave McKay was kind of caught in no man's land. It was a long ball played through and it was just a flicked header on, and Dave McKay was kind of caught in no man's land between going to challenge for the header or just completely dropping off. I thought really that was the only time he was really caught out on Saturday at all. I thought he had a pretty good game. For the goal itself, Tags needs to do much better with a with the initial pass out. I can't remember who's passing to, whether it was Taylor Steven or I can't remember, but they didn't necessarily help him. I think they could have done a little bit more. I then thought, in terms of recovery, I thought Taz looked a little bit sluggish on the recovery as well. I looked at Dave McKay then. I thought, could Dave McKay have came across a bit sooner? He maybe could have. I didn't really think at the time that he should have, but watching back in the highlights, you kind of see the cover that we have. Dave McKay maybe could come across to the right-hand side, but I wouldn't really have pinned that on him. When it's crossed, when it's kind of cut back inside the ball, then Stevie Heatherington needs to do better on the edge of the box. He then has the opportunity to get the foot in and get the ball away, or you know, he needs to do better than he does. And we then don't really do well enough closing Lee down. So the goal for me was a gift. I think Lee's taken it well. I know it's deflected in past PJ and stuff, but it was a bit of a gift, I think, the way it came about. But I think you're right. A reaction to it was concerning, to be honest. I mean, that the goal was, what, 2 or 3 minutes before half-time, and Queens probably should have been ahead at half-time with a couple of chances they created after it.
Yeah, it was. I think Ambrose had a big chance
from a corner.
Mark. And yeah, I was thankful to get in for half-time, which was strange to think, because we were so comfortable in the first half, and thankfully it did come. And the second half was a lot calmer on both sides. Queens with a couple of flashes across the box, and we could have won it in the end. In the last 10 minutes, we really upped the ante, and that seems to be a trademark of Andy Graham's teams. He seems to have that positive attitude where he won't settle for a draw, and you can see the bodies flooding forward looking for the win every time. And we probably should be putting one of those away. I'm thinking of Bobby Wales's header. Taylor Steven, I'm not expecting him to, you know, that's not a one that you're looking at saying, oh, he should have scored that. But it was mightily close. I thought we were about to get late scenes in Palmerston again, which we're so used to. But I'd say all in all, it's a positive point for Alloa. I think it suits Alloa more than it suits Queen of the South. Queen of the South doesn't seem a happy place to play your football at the moment. I was quite taken back in the first half, especially with the fans reacting to the ball going backwards or the ball going sideways. And this is just like, if you've played football or if you, you know, these things happen, you've got to be patient. It's the 30th minute. You're not going to start launching the ball route one, but I think it's just an indictment of the whole season for Queen of the South that these sorts of things are met with moans and jeers and all that sort of thing. And then, of course, when the boy Hutchison gets taken off, who, didn't affect the game at all, but it wasn't necessarily poor. It was more, he just had absolutely zero service. And, of course, it works twofold. But to be jeered off, cheered off even, by your own support, I mean, what chance do you have of getting that sort of mentality, that sort of gung-ho, like we're all together, which Alloa seemed to have despite not getting 3 points on Saturday. For me, it continues momentum. It's 6 unbeaten, which is our longest run since Goodwin in 2019, and it just kind of keeps things ticking over in a nice place for Alloa. And I think it leads us nicely to talk about that playoff hunt, because yes, let's maybe skirt around whether Bobby Wales will be here or not. That's obviously going to be a massive part of the puzzle. Yeah. But, you know, we sit joint now on 4th. I thought there was quite a few draws across the division on Saturday. But we've got 2 games in hand over Queen of the South, who we're 2 points ahead of already. We've got a game in hand over Montrose as well. And as we've mentioned, it's games in hand against teams that you'd be looking at going on and taking the 3 points. Obviously, we've got a tricky couple of games coming up against Motherwell and Falkirk. But after that, you've got that favourable run of Annan and Stirling and Albion for the 3 games after that. It's looking in a lot better place than what Andy took over the team. And the feeling and the momentum around the club feels like it's shifted. And I think Saturday just kind of kept things ticking over in the positive direction, keeps the run going against Queen of the South, and keeps an unbeaten streak going as well.
Yeah, quite a lot to digest there. I think in terms of the point of saying, look, one more, finally hit a prediction for, I think, only the second time this season. You know, I said beforehand 1-1 would be happy enough. I would have taken 1-1 beforehand. Yes, I think it is a positive point. I think when you look at how Queens played, and I think that it's more so the dominance really of the first half. It feels like there was 3 points there for the taking. To me, the second half, yes, we did finish stronger in the last sort of 5-10 minutes. But I thought on the whole in the second half, I didn't think we offered anything at all. I thought we were pretty poor. I thought we were kind of a little bit in our shell, played within ourselves in the second half. And to be honest, I think Queen should have been ahead before it even got to that point. We talked about Connolly having a couple of chances. The header that he had, we kind of found himself in between Morgan Neal and Dave Mackay. You know, we talk about the amount of headers Kevin Colley wins for his size, and it's the same with Lee Connolly, how he had so much space. I don't think he necessarily realised how much time he had, that he could have kind of chested it down and volleyed it home. I think Queen should have potentially been ahead before that last 5 minutes. And yet, Bobby Wales' chance was the big one for me, that header. And you could tell right away his reaction to it. He knew that was the game right there. My kind of overall impression was that neither team did enough to win the game on. Neither team really did enough to deserve the 3 points on Saturday. So I think it is a positive point. It's a way to home against a full-time team. Despite how things are going for Queens, it's a way to home to a full-time team. You're going to be happy with a point in that situation. As you say, it keeps that run going. It's now, you know, you're looking for four or five, your best run for 4 or 5 years sort of since pre-COVID. There's a good feeling about it. I think you're right. What you said there about, you know, the way the kind of Queens fans were compared to how the Alloa fans seem to be, I think back to that towards the end of that Edinburgh game, the whole support were now Alloa hadn't played well that day. We had not played well at all that day, and I didn't think the goal was kind of coming, but the support were still fully behind the team, and you could see the team were going out to try and win the game. Now I contrast that to if I was a Queens fan on Saturday at home against a part-time team. It's one each. I'm expecting, you know, my team to be going hell for leather to get that winner at the end, like we were against Edinburgh the week before. And it just wasn't. It just wasn't there. And as you say, there's absolutely a kind of split between the dugout and the support. You can see that. You could hear it on Saturday as well. You could hear it the last time they were up at the Rex as well after the game. The Queens fans that travelled up didn't hold back in terms of their view of Bartley that day as well. And like you say, when you compare that to where we're at just now ourselves with Andy, and it's a nice place to be in. And then the kind of positive with it is it's the results we're getting as well. As you say, it's now been reflected in the league. We've seen ourselves climbed up to, as you say, we're a fifth, but we're joint fourth. We're only one goal now behind Montrose and fourth, but we've got the game in hand over them. Like I say, the couple of games in hand that we've got kind of overall to take us up to 21, it's Kelty and Annan. It's two very, very winnable games. So we are in a pretty decent position. I think you look ahead to Saturday, and Saturday's, it's a shot to nothing on Saturday. It's a completely free hit in terms of the cup game against Motherwell. The following week, as you say, it's Falkirk. Now, look, Falkirk have had their first, I mean, that would probably be classed as their first real proper blip. You know, I know that it's the fifth draw of the season, but that's a first real proper blip on Saturday, drawn away to Edinburgh, and by all accounts with a very fortunate decision at the end for the penalty right at the death. So maybe that's a little bit of confidence you need to go into that, but I would say the Falkirk game's almost a free hit as well. Really, I'm not really expecting much from that. But it then sets you up to that run of games that you're talking about. A couple of games against Annan, you've got a derby against Stirling in there as well. There's a chance to really put down a marker in terms of where the season ends up going. I still hark back to, I think our centre forward option is going to be a big factor in this as well.
Yeah, no, there's no getting away from it. But just as we conclude on Queen of the South game, it's probably worthwhile. I gave it a wee kind of roll call at the start of commentary on Saturday, but there was a whole host of players returning to the bench. I've not got the squad in front of me. My laptop has just died. But off the top of my head, Josh DeBio.
I'll give you our bench on Saturday.
Go for it. Save me my watches.
was Kerr Bart as a sub keeper. We also had, I noticed the guy was warming up at the start as well. So I think you'd mentioned he'd been there the week before, but I noticed him before the game on Saturday. Yeah.
It's getting
doing
close,
some shot stopping. Yeah, doing some shot stopping. Then he was doing kind of length of the pitch as well beforehand. You then had Ewan Devaney. You've got Luke Donnelly. You've got Stephen Scougal. You've got Mikko Virtanen, Ali Roy, Connor Salmon, John Robertson, Josh DeBio. That's about as strong a bench as Al. That must be as strong a bench as Al as I have had in a long time.
And that's really good to see. And I know probably the likes of Robbo and Donnelly, they're a lot further back in terms of their return to full match fitness. But it's good to see them getting a little bit of game time on Tuesday night against Clyde. And then just to be back involved in the squad again on a Saturday, to be on the bench, to be part of the dressing room again, it's only going to be positive. And I know losing Bobby potentially would be a massive blow, and it doesn't seem that we're going to do that much business in January, but if you add Luke Donnelly, it's the old cliche, it's basically a new signing, because we've seen him a handful of games. Obviously he scored at Hamilton and that was pretty much him throwing out the cold, so it kind of like equates to a little bit of January business if you're able to bring in Luke Donnelly, and you probably still are a couple of weeks away from him being fit, Robbo as well. But those are, I thought that was really positive to see them all back involved in the squad on the bench. Obviously Scougal was the only one that came off it, but it's positive, and I think that strengthens us going into the second half of the season. And it was also, I think, one of the first times or the second time that Andy Graham's been able to leave the boots in the house, so that can only be a good thing for his perspective.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that himself. He was able to not name himself. That might be his first. That might be the first time since he's been in charge that he's been able to not name himself on the bench. As you say, you got Scoo. I think Ali Roy came on as a bit, literally just the two of them used. But it was good, as you say, that game against Clyde. We've seen pictures of, you know, Robbo playing in that, Donnelly playing in that as well, and DeBio. So it's obviously good to have these players back. I think it's interesting what happens with Bobby Wills in terms of if he's here or not. I think when you add in the fact that Brad Rodden going to Steny, that kind of, I remember seeing a comment at the time that gave the impression to someone that, you know, that makes you think, you know, if we're letting Brad leave, and I know Andy talked about after when he, I think it was the Edinburgh interview, he's talking, you know, Brad's obviously came, I mean, he's looking for game time, he's not getting it well, so he's let him go for that, and fair play to him for that. But it makes you kind of think, you know, if we didn't believe we'd be able to get Bobby Wills for the second half of the season, would we let Brad go? I don't know. You know, it would seem, even with LD coming back, I think you've still got, if Bobby Wills is not here the second half, I still think there's a gap to fill with Brad being away as well. Now, whether that is Bobby Wills or whether that is a different loanee, I don't know. But I do think the fact that Brad's gone as well, it would leave us that, you know, we are looking to try and keep Bobby Wills, and if he goes back, look at a potential replacement.
Yeah, it's not been, I know Steny keep him motoring on, but Brad seems to be sat on the bench for a lot of that as well. I think he's got his work cut out to get into that Stenhouse Muir team, but we still wish him all the best. But I suppose the last point on this one is just on what you said there. That what's the number one rule of a football fan in the lower leagues? Never fall in love with a lone player, and we are totally loved in with Bobby Wales, so it's a massive week, fingers crossed that he continues his Alloa career, because what a player he's turning out to be. This Saturday, Cup Fever takes over Alloa as we travel to Fir Park for the first time since 1997, I believe, to take on Premiership side Motherwell in the Scottish Cup fourth round. It's always an exciting week, Scottish Cup weekend. It's always a good opportunity to test yourself up against some of Scotland's finest. It's not been the finest of seasons for Motherwell, I must admit. They sit in ninth position in the Premiership on 20 points. They did go on a 15-game streak where they failed to pick up a victory, but just before the winter break they got their first win against Livingston 3-1, and they were unlucky not to take 3 points against Hibs at Easter Road as well. Before we dive into the ins and outs of Motherwell and the specifics of it, it's obviously going to be a really tricky game going to Premiership opposition, but it's a an occasion that the Alba players will be really looking forward to.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, when you look through our squad, the amount of players, you know, we mentioned this at the time when the draw was made, the amount of players in our squad that have, you know, Motherwell on their CV, and there's quite a lot of the squad are ex-Motherwell, yeah, whether it was through the youth or whatever. So that gives you a bit of added incentive. To me, it's a total free shot. It's the cliched kind of free shot. As you see, you're talking about Motherwell there, sitting ninth just now in the Premier, the Premiership. They've also, you know, the teams around them have games in hand on them. It's a shot to nothing, but I think if you look through the kind of draw for this round, I think this is a potential upset. I think there's a potential of an upset here. I think there's a lot of things. Well, there's two main things really need to happen. All the Alba players need to be bang on it. You know, all the Alba players, you know, from 1 to 11 effectively, need to play well. You know, they all need to play well, and hopefully, you know, maybe a little bit of luck along the way. The other thing for me is you're looking for, you know, a few of the Motherwell players having an off day. The bit that gets me with it is this, for the Premiership teams, this is their first game back after the winter, yeah, break. If I'm one of the guys in the Alba dressing room, my thinking here is go hell for leather from kickoff and try and catch them cold. Try and catch them cold in that first 15, 20 minutes and give yourself something to hold on to. You know, if you can get a goal, for me, any of the teams that are playing against a Premiership team, I'd be thinking, if we can get a goal in the first 15, 20 minutes of the game and give ourselves something to hold on to here, catch the opposition a little bit cold after a couple of weeks off, that's your opportunity. That's your opportunity. I mean, I'll check the odds just now for it. Motherwell will be heavy, heavy favourites and most likely will win this game, but there's a chance.
Yeah, absolutely, there's a chance. That's the magic of the Scottish Cup. You took the words right out of my mouth in terms of the lack of football that Motherwell have played in the past couple of weeks. And I think that can play in Alba's favour. It's obviously a matter of fitness when it comes to the latter stages of the game and into extra time. And not because we're unfit, but just that there's just such a big gulf between the divisions. But it's that sense of, I'm looking at the likes of Stephen Hetherington, an ex-Motherwell man, to just harry that midfield and to add some chaos into the start. The last thing the Motherwell players want after a couple of weeks off is all that pressure and that energy from the likes of Roberts, from Hetherington. So I'm really looking at those, yeah, players to take the mantle and to be brave in this game, because like you say, we've got nothing to lose. Nobody is expecting us to go to Fir Park and go into the next round. Apart from Andy Graham, and I firmly believe that he'll go in there with the confidence, because that's the type of guy he is. But yeah, we need to go in there with confidence that we can cause an upset, because that's the magic of the cup, and there's a lot there is opportunities in this game to do well. Before we dive into how we can potentially do that and the occasion and all that sort of thing, we'll take a little bit of a whistle stop through the Motherwell squad. So they've had a massive blow this week, losing out Slattery, who seems to be out with a long-term injury. They've made a couple of moves. One's done, one we expect to be done in the next couple of days. Adam Montgomery's come into the team, left-back, left-winger sort of player on loan from Celtic. He's had a couple of loan moves. I think this is his fifth from Celtic, so it's not one that you're expecting to break through into the first team, but did well at St Johnstone, so a nice little addition for them. And it also looks like they're going to take on Andy Halliday, who seems to have been linked with every single club under the sun. He seems to be coming into Motherwell by the end of the week, just filling that void that Slattery... I'm glad he's injured, because I cannot say his name tonight. the void that he left. Quality players, obviously, played at a decent level. I think the other ones of note would be Theo Bear, who seems to be scoring for fun at the moment, and his strike partner Biriff. So it's not like we're playing a League One team where you can pluck maybe one or two names. You could go for the full squad, really, and you could talk about, you know, from Liam Kelly to Stephen, yeah, O'Donnell to Blair Spittle. There's so many, but I think the two new boys will be out to impress, and the man who's on form with the goals, Bear, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you kind of alluded to there, you know, you have internationalists in there. Liam Kelly, internationalist now, as you say, McGabby, Stephen O'Donnell, obviously played for Scotland as well. Now, okay, might be in the kind of you know, the watershed, going towards the watershed of his career. But these are guys who have been in and around, you know, the national team as well as in and around the Scottish Premiership for a long, long time. Paul McGinn, you know, is another one. I think Callum Slattery is going to be a miss for Motherwell. 4 goals from him in all competitions this season. And as you say, the names up front, Theo Bear and Beerith as well, players like Blair Spittle as well, you know, they're all household names. And, you know, Motherwell are on the TV, on Sky regular enough that everyone knows who these, you know, these guys are. And said before, to me, there's big jumps when you go between divisions. And this is a, you know, this is a two division jump we're talking about.
Yeah.
Check the odds there. Aller 91 for Saturday. So we're heavy, heavy outsiders. But, you know, go back to that form that Motherwell have been in, and, you know, as I say, played 21. They've won four league games this season. And yes, just before the break, I suppose kind of from the end of November, they get their draw at Parkhead. Going into December, then the draw with Dundee, they get beat at Ross County, they draw with St Johnston, they draw with St Mirren, get beat off Rangers, and then they get their win against Livingston, and they get a point at Easter Road when they probably should have had three as well. So as much as they, you know, we're talking there about that form at the, just before the break, that they came in a little bit of form, it still wasn't great. I think this is one of the banana skins. There's not a lot of potential banana skins, I would say, in this round for the Premier teams, but I think this is, and I think that might get reflected in terms of team selection. If I'm Stuart Kettlewell, I'm going full strength from the start. I think if he tries to get a little bit cute in terms of team selection, particularly coming off the kind of 2 week break, I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah. That was one thing that I was going to touch upon, and just in between the little break that we had in recording, we spoke about Falkirk and the amount of changes that they made at Meadowbank. And to me, that was a lack of respect from Falkirk to the opposition, and they paid for it by dropping points. From meeting Stuart Kettlewell and from watching him from afar, Kettlewell was one of the ones who quite regularly came to the Rex when he was out of a job for Sports Sound, and he always came across as a really nice guy, but he always kind of, the old classic, and Marvin Bartley's one of these guys as well. He talks a good game. He always did talk a good game, and I think I quite like him as a manager in an alternate universe. I thought maybe one day if his career had taken a turn, we might have ended up with him, but I've always been impressed by him, and I can't see him going down the route that Falkirk did, for example, on a Saturday and showing Alawa disrespect, because he'll have seen us before and he'll know how big this game is and how much of a banana skin it potentially is. So I'm expecting full strength, and it's one of those ones that you just don't want Motherwell to relax into the game. Like you say, Kev, it's the first 15, 20 minutes. Make it chaotic, make it awkward, be annoying, be a bit of a pest, and try and make it uncomfortable. It's a lot harder to do.
The word you used before, brave, that's what they need, that's what Alan need to be in that opening 10, 15 minutes. Particularly if it is a full strength Motherwell team, and let's say they come out the traps flying, they need to be brave, and they need to just do whatever they can just to hold on in there.
Yeah.
And even if Motherwell, you know, come out and they score in the first few minutes, it's then that bravery to stay in the game. Because they could score in the first couple of minutes, we could go into our shell, and all of a sudden by halftime it's 4-0 by halftime, and the game's over, and the second half is just going through the motions. Or they could score early, and there's a bravery about that team, and Alloa hang in there, and they hang in, and it gives you that chance in the last five to... We know we can go at teams in the last, you know, the dying embers of a game. Even if we concede in the first couple of minutes, if we could hold on and just give ourselves a chance right at the end, I'd back this Alloa team to go and get something from it.
Yeah, you're quite right. I think it's always harder to do. I would have loved this game at the Rex, because I think at the Rex you can make it an uncomfortable afternoon for anybody. I mean, you look at that Celtic game a couple of years ago, and that was a poor Alloa side. It was a side that was really toiling in the league, but we upped it and we made it extremely uncomfortable for a team that went on to... Did they get the double that year, or maybe the treble? Anyway, they were a successful Celtic team anyway. So it's a shame that it's away. It gives us an opportunity to go to a new ground. But I suppose one of the things that, you know, touch on that you've mentioned over text is the Alloa support are going to be hidden away in some stand that's not visible like it is behind the goal. So it's going to be that atmosphere of we're here to spoil a, not spoil a party, but we're here to spoil the day for everyone. And it's going to take bravery because everybody's going to be against you and everyone's going to be rooting against you. And the Alloa players just need to have the bit between their teeth. And I'm looking at guys like, I'm thinking of Hetherington, I'm thinking of Morgan Neal in particular. And those are guys that I would have confidence that are going to run through a brick wall and are going to defend for their lives. They've got that Motherwell connection, but they're also players that if you're going into a battle, and I know we've said things about Morgan Neal in terms of he's maybe not impressed as much at the start of the season, but he's coming onto a game now, he's looking solid. And I think these are the type of games that you'll see, that hopefully you'll see Morgan Neal go up a level. He'll take that battle, he'll be right up for it. Hetherington as well, there's more players I can include in that. And we really need that. And hopefully the players can see that, lean on that and rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the start, it needs the whole, you know, the 1-11 and whoever's coming off the bench as well for Alloa. Everyone needs to be at pretty much their top level possible. You know, that if we're going to get anything, that you need the whole team. You need, look, PJ Morrison is going to come under pressure at points in the game. You need PJ to pull off a couple of saves. You know, a bit like the save he had on Saturday at Queen of the South. You know that the chances are going to come for Motherwell. They're going to create a number of chances over the 90 minutes. So you need, you know, it starts with PJ, you need him to have a blinder. As you say, your likes of your Morgan Neal now, whether it's David Devine, whether it's Dave Mackay, Tags, Kai, whoever that back line, you know, they need to be throwing themselves, you know, at efforts to try and block them and things like that. It is going to be, you would expect, it's going to be a backs to the wall type performance if we're going to get something out of it. Yeah, it's disappointing. Look, I understand why. So we're in the kind of the far end of the Phil O'Donnell stand on Saturday. So we're towards the Motherwell end of the main stand. I understand why it's not the Tommy McLean stand that you typically see the away fans, you know, being the right hand side when you're watching it on the TV. I understand why we're not in there because there's not going to be an awful, you know, there's not going to be thousands of us going through. It's disappointing though. I think that would have added to the spectacle a little bit. I think if we'd kind of had the end behind the goals, so it's disappointing to be in the sort of main stand. It's going to be a bit like a sort of like at East End Park, that kind of thing. You know, you're down right at the end of the stand at the side. So that is disappointing. And I understand why they'll have that stand shut off, but it is a little bit disappointing.
I'm hoping that we take, somebody asked me on Twitter the other day, I had absolutely no idea, but I'm hoping for a couple of hundred Alloa fans to make the journey down. Like I say, we're in a good place. There's a good feeling around the club, and this is a special occasion for a stadium that we've not visited in a long time. So I'm hoping that it is a decent Alloa support and the team can galvanise himself from that also. Let's talk about this Alloa team. I'm fully expecting through the course of this conversation to convince myself that we're going to win 3-0 by the end of it. But but we'll go through the Alloa team. I think the defence, for me, probably picks itself. There would be a question if David Devine had been fit.
Yeah.
Considering he didn't make the bench on Saturday when Debayo did, I think it's going to be the same back four and goalkeeper as Saturday. Do you have any sort of changes to that at all? Or
I agree with what you're saying there. I think, yeah, had Devine made the bench on Saturday, I might have thought he might be in with a chance of coming back. I'd mentioned Dave Mackay in the first half of the episode. Dave Mackay did well on Saturday. He played pretty well the week before. I think I mentioned that as well against Edinburgh. He was fine against Edinburgh, so I expect he'll carry on there. Cammy's a little bit, to me, Cammy's been a wee bit off the boil the last couple of weeks. I think we mentioned that in the Edinburgh game. He didn't have a great game there. I thought he didn't kind of set the header on fire really on Saturday either. I don't think it's the time that you look at potentially bringing Devaney in for him, but I would say I'm looking for a little bit more out of Cammy. It's difficult to say it going into this game. I'm just kind of talking about the performance in general, because I think the last couple of weeks he's maybe not quite been at the level he was at before.
What I would say is if you are going to be back to the wall and you're not going to enjoy as much possession as you normally do, I mean, you can't play somebody because they're good at set pieces, but he's certainly going to help.
Yeah.
He's certainly going to help his deliveries, his free kicks. It's funny because he takes absolutely everything. If it's right up in the right wing, Cammy O'Donnell shifting over to take it. He's the man for set pieces. So I think that could be a factor on Saturday, you know, with Cammy's delivery with the left foot, the likes of Morgan Neil Mackay up there as well. It's an opportunity, and I'm sure, I mean, I don't know anything, but I'm sure there'll be some time spent on Thursday looking specifically at set pieces, probably more so than we normally do, because it's going to be hard to break them down in open play, let's be honest, unless it's maybe a counter-attack or anything like that. But your biggest opportunities will most likely come from set pieces, so Cammy could have a big part to play on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's probably an area you're looking at. Can we take advantage of something from? As I say, I'm not expecting any change with Devaney coming in or anything like that. But it's, I want to say, a wee bit more from Cammy than the last couple of weeks.
Into midfield's an interesting debate for me. I think Hetherington and Roberts are obviously stuck on. They're the two most important players on Saturday. Him and PJ, I think. I just think their energy is going to be so vital in that midfield. Can they have the bravery and the boldness to play the same way as they do at Palmerston against Motherwell? If they can, then I think they've got the fitness levels. I know it sounds crazy, but I think they've got the fitness levels to make that last over 90 minutes. 120 may be a different question, but to me, that's to create that chaos and to create that boldness and bravery, it comes from the two buzzing midfielders. So I'm hoping for a big game for them. Where it's an interesting conversation is the three in behind the striker. Well, I suppose the conversation starts with, do we play the same formation?
Shape. Yeah.
Because you're up against a better team, or if it is the same formation, who slots in?
I'm just going to touch on the fitness. That's one that I've never looked at an Aloha side. I think it's maybe a little bit different when it's a midweek sort of evening game. I think it then is a fact. See, on a Saturday afternoon, we'll not get beat. We'll not lose this game due to our fitness. That will not be a factor.
No,
Aloha have never had an issue in terms of their fitness or anything. And I know that point gets lamented when it's part-time against full-time, or the fitness and everything will kick in for the full-time. Nah, these guys at Aloha, and part-timers at other teams across the league as well, are as fit as a full-time player.
Look at Saturday,
fitness
for
won't be an issue. Exactly. Fitness won't be an issue, and we won't get beat because we tire or anything like that. Yeah, maybe the effort that they have to put in terms of how much defence and concentrating, that's a kind of different side of things. But the guys will be fine fitness. In terms of the midfield, I think the shape is interesting here, because I think we will be the same shape. But what I would say is, I think out of possession, we will be a very, very obvious 4-5-1. You know, it won't look like a kind of a 4-2-3-1 without the ball. I think it will be a very, very obvious 4-5-1 without the ball. I think then when we do get possession, we'll look for those wide men to break further forward, and for the central midfielder to, you know, the attacking midfielder to get up to make it look like a 4-2-3-1 in possession. But I think without the ball, we will be a much more obvious 4-5-1 on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be on paper when we put the graphic up before the game, it will look like a 4-2-3-1, but is not what it's going to look like come the game itself and the flow of the game starts. And I think that for me changes who I would play in those sorts of positions as well. So unfortunate. I mean, we can have a conversation about him. If Buchanan plays, this is the type of game I would have loved him to be part of.
Yeah.
His counter-attacking abilities, but not on the bench on Saturday, so I'm kind of counting that as maybe not going to be ready. For me, Scougal looked ready when he came on Saturday. He starts. He is a player, technically, ability-wise, could play in the Premiership. Maybe not at the... Well, he has done, but it's injuries, it's fitness, it's maybe kept him playing for Aloha. But ability-wise, he will not look out of place. So Scougal comes in behind the striker. For me, Kevin Colley goes out on the right-hand side because of what you're saying, how much he's going to have to drop into the midfield. Can we make it a little bit narrower? Kev's got the experience to do that. If you start Coulson and Stephen, do you sacrifice a body in the midfield who can slot in? I think you do. So playing Kevin and Scougal, it would be a little bit more conservative. And then it's a bit of a coin toss between Taylor Steven and Quinn Coulson for the left-hand side. Is Steven going to be available? Potentially, I'm not sure.
That's a question.
If he is, I think I will go for Steven over Coulson. But it's the toss of a coin, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it at Dunbar. Ali Roy obviously played at Dunbar. Taylor Steven and Bobby Wills didn't play. So that's a question. Is Taylor Steven going to be allowed to buy St Johnstone to play on Saturday? If he is allowed to play, I think I start him and Coulson as the wide players. I think I do. I think I start Kev as well. And I keep Scoogle on the bench. I think without question, Scoogle would cut. I mean, it could even be half time. You know, you could see him coming on for the second half. I think I'd possibly keep it the same. Now, if Buchanan was available, I would bring him in and I would start him in front of Taylor Steven down the right hand side. I think that's what I would go with. I think I would kind of try and limit the changes as much as I could. I completely understand the argument for bringing Scoogle. I'm kind of a coin toss on it just now, you know, after Saturday, in terms of Scoogle starting or not. Can completely understand if you would go that route.
I think the thing is on Saturday, and maybe he will surprise me, but the amount of energy that Scoogs will have to exert playing in that position, would they last a full 90? They're still going to, all the players that we spoke about are going to play, well, maybe not Buchanan and Steven. Availability-wise, all these players are going to have a part to play. It's just what time they come on. An interesting final piece of the puzzle is up front. It's the same with Steven. We don't know if Bobby Wales is going to be available to play, if he's going to be permitted to play. He wasn't allowed at Dunbar. I kind of think I'm kind of half expecting Stephen and Wales not to be available, just knowing the way that you know, the cookie crumbles with these sorts of things. So it would be Coulson on the left and Ali Roy up front. And what I will say about Ali Roy up front is I would prefer Bobby Wales, of course, but I'm not that disappointed that Ali Roy will play, because he's a striker that only needs one chance. You know, he went on that unbelievable goal-scoring run at the start of his Alloa career, and it wasn't like he was getting 5, 6, 7 chances a game. He was only getting a couple, and he was tucking them away nicely. And he came in out the cold against Montrose, and he still got it. He's still just a natural finisher. And I think that's something that you hold on to, because you're only going to get one or two chances. And if it is Ali Roy, who I expect it to be, he only really needs one, and hopefully that's the case. It'll be a big afternoon for him if he does get the nod and can make a difference.
So I kind of feel the same. I'm thinking Taylor Steven and Bobby Wales won't be available. I'm gutted. For both of them, I'm gutted, to be honest. I just feel that neither of them are going to necessarily be there. Like I said, Bobby Wills, we don't know if Bobby Wills is still going to be at the club on Saturday, you know what I mean? He may be recalled. We don't know what the situation is going to be. I just feel, even if he is here, I mean, if he is here, it wouldn't make sense for him not to be available to play, because, you know, why wouldn't Kilmarnock want him playing if he was going to be here for the second half of the season? So we'll wait and see. I'm thinking he's not going to be, and I suppose that kind of then my lineup in midfield, if I don't think Taylor Steven is actually going to be there, I'm probably looking Quinn Coulson on the left, Buchanan if he was fit on the right, Kev in the middle, Buchanan probably not going to be fit, so it's probably going to be Kev on the right and Scoogle. So my lineup is probably going to be what you're thinking as well. In terms of up front, I wonder if you throw Salmon in. You know, it's part of the ex-Motherwell as well, and there's kind of some of my thinking in here is, do you start Salmon to kind of run him for 50 minutes and then give Ali Roy that chance at the end to, as the opposition start to tire a little bit, then introduce Ali Roy? There's a little bit, I wouldn't actually be surprised to see Andy go that route and kind of lean on that experience of Connor Salmon. Gut feel, I think it will be Ali Roy. I think it will be. And personally, I think it makes sense for Ali Roy to start. It's weird that there is a bit of me is kind of trying to throw Salmon in just to kind of... Honestly, I'd throw Salmon in to try and rough him off a bit and then let Ali Roy try and exploit, you know, any tiredness later, but I think it'll be Ali Roy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either to see Samuel come in. For me, I think Ali, he deserves the nod. He's done nothing wrong in his Alawa career, apart from being lucky that we've got an unbelievable young talent. That's the only, you know, down part in Ali Roy's Alawa career, and it's completely uncontrollable. So I think for him, I mean, I've not spoken to him, I don't know, but it must be slightly frustrating to be playing so well on your limited opportunities but not get the nod to start. And he'll understand it because he knows what's playing instead. But it would be a nice reward for him to say, you know what, we have noticed it. You have been playing really well. Go on and make yourself a little bit of an Alawa hero. And that's the opportunity, just as we bring, you know, the podcast to a close. That's the opportunity Alawa have got on Saturday. Gordon Duncan was saying on Clyde One Super Scoreboard it was his first ever heartbreaking football when Alawa won on penalties back in 97 after a 0-0 draw. And that's, you know, what, 20, 30, whatever, how many years ago? It's too late at night to be doing maths like that. But that's the opportunity that these Alawa players have got to really cement themselves into the history of the football club. And it's something that these sorts of results and these sorts of cup runs can galvanise the whole community for the rest of the season as well. So it's a massive, massive chance. It's, of course, a long shot and, of course, a very hard thing to do, but it's a chance to make yourselves, make somebody a bit of a legend on Saturday, should they be the hero.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, it was said right at the start, it's a shot to nothing. It's a complete free shot. It's a complete free shot. If we go out and we get beat 5-6-7-0, honestly, kind of who cares? That's kind of, obviously don't want that to happen, but it's, you know, Motherwell would be, you know, well within their ability to go out and put 5 or 6 goals past us. That wouldn't be a huge shock at all. And as you say, it's you were taught that there's so many things need to happen for Ali to try and get a result in this. But, you know, I look at that Premiership table and I look at Motherwell sitting there 4 wins after 21 games, and, you know, conceding 34 goals. It's the leakiest defence in the entire Premiership. And I think, you know, I look at the teams in there and think, if we were going to be drawn away to a Premiership team, is there any others there that I would rather be going up against? Maybe Livingston. Probably Livingston. Other than that, in terms of us having an opportunity to try and get, you know, a huge, what would be a huge scalp, there probably isn't another team in the Premiership that you'd fancy more going to than Motherwell, to be realistic. It's a long shot. It's a long shot. I do feel we're saying there about Taylor Steve, about Bobby Wales, Buchanan into this as well. I feel with all those players available, I actually can see how Alawa get a result out of this, and probably I'm thinking along what I say, nick something early and it gives us something to hold on to, and then a real backs against the wall performance. I think because we're not expecting, we're getting the feeling they're probably not going to see them play. I think that tempers my expectations. I would like to say that we can go there and we can at least push Motherwell, is what I would say. I would hate for us to go there and just the players play within themselves and they go into their shells, and as you say, we concede early and then it's 3 or 4 by half time and it's over by a contest. I would hope we make sure we give Motherwell a game and we keep it competitive into the second half. And we've seen this Alawa team kind of raise it in the last few minutes and go. Put it this way, if we're level going in the last 15 minutes, I can see us winning it. You know, that's how I feel about this team just now.
I can see your eyes just light up the more and more that you spoke.
I'm desperate. I'm desperate to say that we're going to go there and win it. And look, the reality is, it's most likely not going to happen. We're 91 at the bookies for a reason. But then Edinburgh kicked off at 50-1 on Saturday against Falkirk, and they got a draw out of it. So there's what you look at it from the other perspective.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting Alawa to go in and be competitive. I hope it's not plucky Alawa or, you know, spirited Alawa just miss out, but I kind of feel that might be the case. There's another part of me that says, you know, we're due a little bit of a cup upset. We've not upset a big boy in quite a wee while, so, and we've become quite accustomed to it in the last 5 to 10 years. But for me, if I have to put a prediction on it, I'll go 3-1 Motherwell, but I'm praying, and a little bit of my heart is saying, let's go and do something special.
I'm going for one each and we win it on penalties.
There we go.
I'm going one each and we win it on penalties. We get a goal early, try and hold on, but we can't. But we end up then holding on through extra time and go and win it on penalties. And we'll see who steps up. Connor Salmon to step up and be the hero in the penalty shootout. Connor Salmon and PJ Morrison. There you go. They'd be two perfect, you know, ex Motherwell players to go and be the heroes of the shootout.
I don't think my dodgy heart could take that sort of excitement on a Saturday, but let's hope the game's on for one, and let's hope that we've got something special to talk about by the time that we meet next week.